The hour of 10:15 having arrived, we will call the House Tax Committee to order. I would like to start out with Representative Schultz, if you'd please move the minutes of March 28th, 2017.
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Schultz. Item next, I'd like to make some introductions. First of all, the new committee legislative assistant, Mr. Tim Smith, is with us. GOP research, Mr. Andrew Hasek from Fairmont, right? Home of the Cardinals?
That's right.
That's right. Okay. And I do not believe the DFL has any changes. I visited with Chair Mark Bork for a second, and I don't think we do at this point. So that being said, if Mitch, could you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm the page for this committee for today. I don't know if we'll be switching out, but I hope I get to stick with you guys. I graduated from the University of Minnesota Morris, and we're out group from a small school. That's about it.
Mitch, are they Mustangs? No. Morris?
Cougars.
Oh, I apologize to everyone from Morris. Cougars. Yes, of course. What was I thinking? Okay. With that being said, members, today we're very fortunate to have with us the commissioner and Mr. Paul Cummings to go over. Now, I'd just like to make just a few comments because, as you know, we passed the major tax bill last year, and this year, you know, there probably wasn't going to be a tax bill or some adjustments, and we do a bonding bill and do your local bills and go home and call it a session. Well, how's that going to work for us? Not so much. And so we have some very, very important decisions to make, so that the department can better serve their constituents, the people of Minnesota. And so it would be my intention today to have the commissioner present the department's views on conformity, or if we don't do conformity, or if we do conformity, what their thoughts are. In previous discussions with the department, I've made it clear that they will have the committee time that's needed because we've got some very important decisions to make as a committee. And it's my intention during the discussion of conformity is not necessarily to talk about what the federal tax bill does or what it does in this provision or that provision. I just want to figure out how can we make this thing work for Minnesota. The federal tax bill is the federal tax bill. That's what it is. We can say whatever we'd like to about it, but go tell somebody else. House research then would be next on the agenda. As you see on your agenda, we have presentation by the department, presentation by House Research and House Fiscal. I don't know if we'll get to that. The department's put together a very informative presentation here that could take most of the time. I'd like to also announce we will be done in committee, even if we're not done, at about 11:20 to respect the caucuses from both the DFL and the GOP, so folks can get there, of course, for our first day of session then at noon for 2018. So House Research will go a little more in-depth, possibly, than what the department's looking at. The department's going to be kind of a high-level overview. Then House Fiscal, after research, and this could be Thursday, will provide more details about fiscal impacts to the state from conformity alone. And I would prefer, I talk to the commissioner, if members could wait with questions until after the presentation. My guess is that a lot of the questions will be answered throughout the presentation. Then we will open up for questions, and of course, if we don't get all the questions today, you can either ask the department offline or in the next committee, because as I said, the department will have the committee time they need. We have some, as I said, some very, very important decisions to make. Thursday's hearing, we will, as I said, we will pick up from today's hearing. Then we'll go into public testimony, and again, for those of you that are signing up to testify, whether you like the federal bill or you don't like the federal bill, whatever. That's not what we're here for. What we're here for is how can this committee help the department, help the people of Minnesota. That's my goal on this. If you don't like the provision of the federal tax bill, tell the postmaster, whatever you want to do. But we're not going to spend dissecting that here, would be my intention. Of course, you can, as members, you can say whatever you'd like. But that's not my intention. We need to make this work, and if I would let the commissioner talk, we could probably figure out how to make it work. So, Commissioner Bowery, welcome to the Tax Committee. And if you could please start with your presentation or any announcements that you would have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. For the record, my name is Cynthia Bowerly. I'm the Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Revenue. We appreciate the time today. Our goal with our presentation here today is to make sure that you all have a better understanding of what happens to Minnesota's tax system and to our taxpayers were we to do nothing. So sort of at our status quo, what is the current state of Minnesota law after the federal tax bill of 2017? I will be joined in this presentation not only by Mr. Cummings, who you all know very well, but additional administrators at the department. We want you to make sure that you have a fuller knowledge and a deeper understanding. And so I have with us today Assistant Commissioner Cynthia Rowley, who you will hear from. You know her most recently in some of the conversations you've had with her from the Property Tax Division. She is now the Assistant Commissioner overseeing individual income tax, tax operations, and property taxes. Assistant Commissioner Jenny Starr, who oversees our business taxes. And I also want to, you will not be hearing from him today, but our new Deputy Commissioner Lee Ho, who joined the department from the Department of Health, but previously to his time in the Department of Health, spent about over 15 years at the Department of Revenue. And so we are pleased to have him back at the department. We will also be joined by Assistant Commissioner Pete Squira to help us understand some of the administrative costs that will be incurred by the
Excuse
department.
Excuse me. My phone is off.
Russia calling.
Russia? I've been hacked. Turn your phones off. Mine's off, for the record. That was odd. I'm sorry, Commissioner. Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Rubis. As I said, we are here to give you an overview of how the 2017 federal tax law could impact Minnesota. The law changed the federal code substantially, and as we consider the options before us this session, we look forward to working with you on the best way to help our customers in Minnesota meet their obligations under Minnesota's tax code. Before we dive into the specifics, I want to remind you that the department's mission is working together to fund Minnesota's future. So we work with all of our customers to help bring revenue into the state that then, of course, the legislature helps decide where those funds go to improve Minnesota's lives. Our vision is that everyone reports, pays, and receives the right amount, no more, no less. So we are very specific with people's obligations under the tax code, and this means that if we find adjustments in the taxpayer's favor during our reviews or during our audits, we, of course, make the right refunds as well. And we do this work guided by our four values of integrity, respect, excellence, and accountability. I wanted to remind you that we opened our individual income tax filing season last month on January 29th. The individual income tax is, of course, what most Minnesotans think of when they think of the Department of Revenue. But it is just one of the many tax types the department is responsible for administering. We have already received over 580,000 returns from Minnesotans since we opened on January 29th, and we have sent out over 300 refunds to Minnesotans. Minnesotans have until April 17th this year to file and pay their taxes or file a return to receive a refund. We work year-round with our customers to help them understand well-known taxes like income tax, sales, corporate taxes, and lesser-known taxes like lawful gambling, petroleum taxes, and even some that only a few taxpayers benefit from, like the farm winery tax, dry cleaner solvent fees, the solid waste management tax, and more. Each year, we serve about 2.9 individual income tax filers, from first-time filers trying to comply with Minnesota's law to those who use sophisticated preparation tools and use tax preparers and accountants to file their taxes. About 1.7 million Minnesotans will receive a refund this year, and an additional 800,000 Minnesotans will file homeowner and renter property tax refund claims. We serve veterans, homeowners, renters, members of the military, seniors, tribal governments, people new to Minnesota, and many more. Our customers also include our important partners in this work, tax preparers and professionals who help their customers, whether they're individuals or businesses, file and pay their taxes. We work closely with tax preparation software vendors to ensure their systems and the people who use their products work correctly. We serve volunteer preparers who work at volunteer income tax sites across the state. VITA is a service for taxpayers who are 60 or older, have a disability, speak limited English, or have an annual income of $54,000 or less, and there are over 220 VITA sites open across Minnesota for all income tax filers who meet those qualifications to receive free, well-trained, certified help. We serve all 87 Minnesota counties directly and through the Board of Assessors, which is housed at the department, by overseeing the 800 licensed property assessors. We also make state aid payments to counties, cities, towns, and special taxing districts. We serve over 160,000 businesses who collect, file, and pay sales tax every month. And there are over 400,000 businesses in our online file and pay system, most of these businesses located in Minnesota. Others are doing business here, but located across the country and the world. All of our customers have unique circumstances and needs, and we have a responsibility to serve them all. So I wanted to provide you with that reminder of our broad customer base and the current set of needs that we have at the department for serving our customers. And we, as we consider a response to the federal law that is in the best interest of Minnesota, we continue to monitor activity at the federal level as well. So as Mr. Chairman, you noted, they passed the 2017 federal tax law. There are still some pieces of that that we are looking to understand. First, we know that there are some needed corrections to that law. There have been congressional discussions about a corrections bill to address a number of items. The IRS has issued a schedule for guidance around the 2017 law, about 30 new policy items that the IRS plans to issue throughout 2018. And that will continue to cause some uncertainty for people looking at their federal liability and obligations under the new law throughout that time until there's more certainty coming from the IRS. And, of course, that uncertainty flows here to their as they consider their obligations in Minnesota. And as I hope you all know, on February 9th, the Congress passed an extender bill, so additional items that to extend tax provisions for tax year 2017, which is the current filing season. So we'll have a little bit more on that at the end of the presentation, but wanted to flag that for you as well. So all of these things are combining to what will turn out to be an already complicated situation with the 2017 federal tax law changes. And today we want to make sure that the committee and the public have an overview of the scope of federal changes and a better understanding of their impacts on Minnesotans. If Minnesota does not respond by making changes to our own law, Minnesotans will be faced with a more complex filing system. The department's job is to ensure the most efficient and effective filing system for our customers, and we will do that. Under these circumstances, however, if there is no law to respond to the federal changes, there will be complexity that the department cannot mitigate. Federal nonconformity affects the vast majority of Minnesota taxpayers. This is different than in previous years where nonconformity was limited to a specific set of provisions for a limited number of taxpayers. We've sometimes referred to that as the extender package. This is a very different bill at the federal level, and so a very different consequence of not conforming in Minnesota. And again, how we conform is really the question that I think we will be answering that together this session. So next I will ask Mr. Cummings to walk through a high-level summary of the federal changes, and Ms. Rowley and Ms. Starr will follow to share with you some detailed consequences of doing nothing this session. One issue that has already come up and I wanted to address briefly is the fact that while most Minnesotans, the consequences will be complexity, for a subset of Minnesotans, no additional law changes in Minnesota could mean additional Minnesota tax, because of the connection between federal elections and state elections for certain provisions. The department has been asked in the context of federal law changes about whether elections for federal purposes are binding on state purposes. When taxpayers make an election under federal law on their federal return, they are also making an election under Minnesota law. After making that election, if there are differences between the federal provision and the state provision, taxpayers must make adjustments on their Minnesota return to reflect those differences. We acknowledge that current differences between federal and Minnesota law are more significant this year than in past years. However, neither those differences nor the results they produce changes the department's longstanding position under current Minnesota law. For more detail on the 2018 federal law changes, I'm now going to turn it over to Mr. Cummings. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I made a statement earlier. I'm getting some texts and some emails. If you want to talk about the federal tax bill, don't call your postmaster. I would suggest calling Mr. Cummings. So with that, Mr. Cummings, please introduce yourself for the record and please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Paul Cummings, and I'm the Tax Policy Manager at the Minnesota Department of Revenue.
Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, today I will give a high-level overview on scope and direction of the changes in the 2017 federal tax law for individuals and businesses. Mr. Michael, Mr. Williams, and Ms. Templin will be providing a more detailed overview of the provisions and revenue cost elements of the law. On December 22, 2017, President Trump signed the 2017 federal tax bill into law. The new federal tax law makes many changes to tax rates and base provisions, as I will describe today, and it also removes the fines for not having health insurance, effectively removing the Affordable Care Act's individual mandate. Minnesota relies on the federal tax system as its starting point for determining each individual and corporation's Minnesota income taxes. Right now, Minnesota statutes are conformed to the definition of federal taxable income as it was constructed on December 16, 2016. Any amendments to the federal tax code since that time are not incorporated into Minnesota's calculation of income. As shown on this slide, federal taxable income is a starting point for calculating Minnesota taxable income, the tax base used to calculate Minnesota income tax liability. For individuals, federal taxable income equals federal adjusted gross income, or FAGI, after deductions and exemptions. FAGI includes most types of income, including wages, salaries, and tips, taxable interest, dividends, business or farm income, capital gains, other gains or losses, taxable retirement distributions, unemployment compensation, and taxable Social Security benefits, to name a few. The federal tax law changes the definition of federal adjusted gross income in several ways. Income is modified by altering the definition of wages, like repealing the exclusion for employer moving expense reimbursement and the exclusion for bicycle commuting reimbursements, changing business and other income, like limiting business loss carryforwards, changing the treatment of alimony. The federal law makes this non-taxable income for the recipient ex-spouse, and repealing the deduction for moving expenses, among other changes. In almost all cases, these modifications or repeals increase federal adjusted gross income. After FAGI is determined, taxpayers may claim either the standard deduction or itemized deductions. Itemized deductions include state and local property tax payments, mortgage interest, charitable contributions, certain medical expenses, and health insurance premiums, and allowable job and miscellaneous expenses. The federal standard deduction and itemized deductions are also changed in several ways. Beginning in tax year 2018, the federal standard deduction increases to $24,000 for married joint filers, $12,000 for single and married separate filers, and $18,000 for head of household filers. This nearly doubles the prior year standard deduction for federal purposes. The federal law also modifies many itemized deduction items, including expanding the medical and dental expense deduction in tax years 2017 and 2018, increasing the maximum allowable charitable contribution deduction, limiting the home mortgage interest deduction, capping the state and local tax deduction at $10,000, and repealing tax preparation fees deductions, casualty and theft loss deduction, unreimbursed employee expense deduction, and the phase-out of itemized deductions. The federal law also creates a 20% deduction for certain business income reported on individual returns. Finally, in order to get to federal taxable income, personal independent exemptions are applied. The new federal law reduces the personal independent exemptions to zero, replacing them with an increased federal child tax credit up to $2,000. The federal law imposes a requirement of having a Social Security number to claim certain credits. This means that taxpayers are treated differently based on immigration status. Though these families pay federal taxes, this would disqualify the ability for many of them to claim the child tax credit. In Minnesota, we don't have a counterpart to the federal child tax credit. The federal tax law also increases the exemption and exemption phase-outs for the individual alternative minimum tax, AMT, And for 529 plans, they are expanded to allow expenses for K-12 private and charter schools up to a $10,000 cap. This is not allowed under current Minnesota law. Most individual provisions in the law will end in 2025 and revert to previous law. Under the federal law for the estate tax, federal tax law doubles the estate tax exemption to over $11 million for individuals and over $22 million for couples. As I mentioned before, corporations will see their tax rate cut from 35% to 21% on a permanent basis. Under the federal tax law, the corporate alternative minimum tax is repealed. For bonus depreciation, 100% bonus depreciation is allowed for qualified properties under the new federal law. It phases down from 100% by 20% per year starting in 2023. For small business expensing, typically called 179 expensing, it is allowed up to $1 million permanently under the federal tax law. For business interest deduction, it is currently generally fully deductible under the new federal tax law. It is allowed for net interest in excess of 30% of business income, excluding depreciation after 2022. There is an exemption for businesses with gross receipts of $25 million or less, though. Under the new federal law, there will be a limitation on the net operating loss deduction to 80% of taxable income. It allows carryforwards to continue indefinitely and eliminates the carryback. These are permanent changes. For the taxation of multinational companies, the federal tax law moved to a worldwide system with deferral and foreign tax credit to a quasi-territorial tax system with base erosion provisions. It includes an anti-abuse tax on certain payments to foreign corporations. In addition, a one-time tax is imposed on unrepatriated foreign earnings at 8% or 15.5%, depending on the form of assets. Those changes are also permanent. So, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today to give a high-level overview of the federal tax law. I will now turn it over to Assistant Commissioner Cindy Rowley.
Thank you. And again, members, we're going to be holding off questions until after the presentation so they can get their presentation and the department can get their presentation. And with that being said, welcome to the committee, Assistant Commissioner Rowley, in your new role. We're very happy to have you here. So please continue with the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Cynthia Rowley. I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Revenue. I oversee the individual income tax and withholding, tax operations, and property tax division at the department. As Commissioner Bowerly mentioned, the individual income tax season is what many Minnesotans think of when they think of the Department of Revenue. More than 2.9 million Minnesotans file individual income tax returns each year. About 56% are assisted by professional tax preparers who use tax preparation software. Another 31% self-prepare their returns using software. 11% self-prepare their returns on paper, and about 2% are filed on paper by professional tax preparers. As Mr. Cummings described, the 2017 federal tax law is a significant change. It will impact virtually all Minnesotans in all parts of the state. It will impact all tax preparers and all vendors that provide tax preparation software. We know through listening sessions and other feedback channels that our customers expect excellent customer service, clear information, and guidance for us to be available and responsive. Based on customer feedback, we have made strides to increase our outreach and education efforts to serve taxpayers better. We strive to provide timely information on our website, through our email subscription services, our social media outlets, and through in-person outreach to the preparer community and constituent groups, including members of the military and veterans. We use plain language principles in all our communications to provide clear and transparent information to help our customers find answers to the questions about Minnesota tax law. Plain language is also important to our forms and instructions. Forms and instructions require continuous review and updating to make sure they are relevant and helpful to all of our customers, including taxpayers and preparers. We also help fund and promote over 220 volunteer income tax assistance sites, or VITA sites, that provide free income tax preparation help to Minnesotans. For tax year 2016, Minnesota VITA sites processed over 200,000 in state, federal, and property tax refunds for returns for Minnesotans, totaling nearly $130 million in refunds. We know this service is incredibly important to our customers. We also know that there has been an increase in stolen identities across the country and in Minnesota. Criminals use stolen identities to file returns in the hopes of stealing taxpayer refunds. We use a combination of skilled staff and technology to make sure we do our part to keep taxpayer refunds safe from cyber criminals. The services we provide to our customers so they can file and pay the right amount safely, accurately, and on time are critical to our work of protecting taxpayer money and the state's revenue system. It's important to understand that our current scope of work, because of the 2017 federal tax law, will increase our customers' needs for these services. We will need to maintain our current service levels and meet the new demands that come from responding to the new federal tax laws. I'm going to describe some examples of what the 2017 federal tax law means for Minnesotans who file individual income tax. These are basic examples and only meant to illustrate a very few of the changes that will impact our customers. The 2017 federal tax law made changes to many provisions that impact Minnesota income tax filers. Examples of just a few of the differences that will affect nearly every Minnesota filer include standard deduction, election to itemize, and personal exemptions. Minnesota net income is federal taxable income incorporating any elections made by the taxpayer on their federal return. So in other words, if a taxpayer takes the standard deduction on their federal return, they must take the standard deduction on their Minnesota return. If a taxpayer elects to itemize on their federal return, then the taxpayer must also itemize on their Minnesota return. Historically, the value of the standard deduction for federal and state purposes was the same, and the expenses available for the itemized deduction were also the same. Beginning this year, the standard federal deduction for a married couple filing jointly will be $24,000, and under current law, the standard Minnesota deduction will be $13,000, adjusted for inflation next year. The result is a Minnesota taxable income that is automatically $11,000 higher than federal taxable income for taxpayers that elect to take the standard deduction. But if taxpayers filing jointly have Minnesota itemized deductions that are more than $13,000, they may benefit from itemizing. Also, beginning next year, the items included in the federal itemized deduction will not include things like casualty losses, tax preparation fees, and unreimbursed employee business expenses, to name just a few. Under current Minnesota law, Minnesota's itemized deductions will include those items. The 2017 federal tax law also makes changes to the way that personal and dependent exemptions affect federal tax liability, as described earlier by Mr. Cummings. So many taxpayers claim the standard deduction. Public estimates by the Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation indicate that many more will claim the standard deduction going forward. To help illustrate what taxpayers will need to do if Minnesota does not act, I'd like to walk you through an example. I'm going to go over the process for how a family of four would calculate their standard deduction for federal and state taxes. As you follow along on the PowerPoint slide, you'll notice that some of the steps have boxes around them. Those boxes indicate new steps for Minnesota filers. So first we'll go over how a taxpayer would calculate their federal tax liability. First, the taxpayer will calculate federal adjusted gross income following IRS instructions that incorporate the 2017 federal tax law changes. Next, the taxpayer will reduce their income by the larger standard deduction to calculate the federal taxable income. For a married couple filing jointly, this would be $24,000. The taxpayer will determine federal tax, calculate the federal credit for dependents, and deduct that amount from their federal tax to determine their federal tax liability. When the taxpayer prepares their state return, they'll start with federal taxable income. Next, they'll apply Minnesota additions and subtractions. They'll add back the larger federal standard deduction of $24,000 to income, and subtract a smaller standard deduction of $13,000, which is the 2017 Minnesota standard deduction amount adjusted for inflation. Then another new step for Minnesota taxpayers will be a need to calculate a deduction for exemptions based on their family size. Finally, the taxpayer will determine their Minnesota tax liability. The taxpayer now knows their total federal and state tax liability using the standard deduction. Recall, however, that because Minnesota has not acted, the family has the longer list of itemized deductions available at the state level. In order to determine whether it's most beneficial to claim the standard or itemized deduction, the family may need to calculate both to make the best decision. So to calculate the itemized deduction options for their federal and state taxes, they would follow this process. And again, we'll start on the left with the federal return. As before, the taxpayer starts by calculating federal adjusted gross income following IRS instructions that incorporate the 2017 federal tax law changes. Next, the taxpayer prepares federal Schedule A for itemized deductions. Their itemized deduction will likely be less than it has been in previous years because of changes that eliminate deductions for things like unreimbursed business expense, tax preparation fees, and home equity interest. Next, they reduce their adjusted gross income by the amount of itemized deductions to calculate federal taxable income. Like the previous example, they'll determine their federal tax liability, then reduce it by the amount of the federal credit for dependents to determine their federal tax. Next, the taxpayer will carry their federal taxable income over to their Minnesota return and apply Minnesota additions and subtractions to income. They will prepare a new Minnesota supplemental schedule for additional items that qualify for Minnesota itemized deductions. Common additional deductions include interest on home equity loans, tax preparation fees, and unreimbursed employee business expenses. The supplemental amount will also be deducted from income. As with the previous example, the taxpayer needs to calculate and subtract personal and dependent exemptions based on family size and determine Minnesota tax liability. Now the taxpayer is ready for their decision. They'll compare their total federal and state tax liability using the standard deduction to their total federal and state tax liability using itemized deductions and, of course, select the best option. After making that decision, they'll proceed with preparing their federal and state returns for filing. How will this affect Minnesota individual income tax customers? The very basic example we walked through demonstrates how complex the process would be. The example did not include many other differences that exist as a result of the 2017 Federal Tax Act, some of which were described by Mr. Cummings. As a result of the added complexity, more of our customers may need to hire tax professionals or buy software to prepare their tax returns because of the added complexity. Taxpayers may need to pay more to have their taxes prepared. Some taxpayers may wait longer for their refund because of inadvertent errors made in preparing complicated forms and schedules. Taxpayers will need to plan ahead. They may want to make changes to withholding or estimated payments now. Taxpayers may also need to retain their receipts for itemized deductions like meals and entertainment expenses that are no longer allowed for federal but would be allowed for Minnesota under current law. We know the committee has plans to hear from the public later this week, and we don't want to speak for those in the tax preparation community or software vendors. We have been in touch with some of those partners, and I am sure they will share more details with you. But at this point, we anticipate a number of consequences if Minnesota does not act. Tax preparers may need to spend more time to prepare a Minnesota return and to explain why and how things are different this year to taxpayers. They will also need to plan ahead. Vendors will need to make changes to their programming, which takes time. Preparers will need to research and understand the impacts to properly advise taxpayers and prepare returns. We have begun to assess how the 2017 federal law impacts current Minnesota law to understand how our tax forms, schedules, worksheets, and instructions will be impacted. Our job at the department is to make tax filing as easy as possible for taxpayers. However, we need to be clear that there is only so much we can do to minimize the complexity created by the 2017 federal tax law for Minnesota filers. Overall, we estimate a need to create several new income tax schedules. One example is creating a new Minnesota schedule similar to the old federal Schedule A, and that's for taxpayers who would choose to itemize. Another example is creating a Minnesota form similar to the old federal form used to report casualty and theft losses. We will also need to modify a number of existing income tax and property tax refund forms and schedules to reflect the differences for customers. We will need to draft dozens of pages of income tax instructions, along with changes to many existing instructions. We will need to replicate the 2016 Internal Revenue Code in forms and instructions that will no longer apply at the federal level. Historically, revenue referred taxpayers to IRS instructions for items that impacted federal taxable income. Now that federal taxable income and Minnesota taxable income are different, the IRS won't maintain and update some of those instructions, which means that Minnesota will have to create and maintain them on our website. Many Minnesota taxpayers will be faced with preparing new or more complex forms, worksheets, and schedules to meet their filing requirements. The department will need to be prepared to assist taxpayers who want to voluntarily comply but are being challenged by the complexity resulting from the 2017 federal law. We anticipate more customers will need help on the front end and that the volume and complexity of our review during processing and during audit will increase. For example, outreach efforts yet this year will be critical to helping customers prepare for filing next year. We expect more customers will contact us for guidance while preparing their returns. We expect higher numbers of requests and that those requests will take more time than in past years because of their complexity. Although customers will work to comply, the department's review will continue to identify errors that require us to contact customers for more information prior to processing the return or before sending a refund. This is the most effective way to serve customers who tried to comply but made mistakes or errors. Finally, for a more complex situation, errors not identified in processing will be corrected in audit, sometimes up to a year or two after filing. As we review the federal law changes, how they interact with current Minnesota law, and our current forms and processes, we are guided by our priorities around serving customers and identifying a solution that is best for taxpayers. We are working to minimize the impacts to all of our customers, including taxpayers, preparers, and software vendors. We need to support voluntary compliance through forms and instructions that illustrate the changes required to calculate 2017 Minnesota taxable income in as clear and transparent a way as possible. We will need to collect enough information from taxpayers to be able to assist them when they intended to file correctly, but did not due to the additional complexity of the federal tax law. We must also protect the integrity of the tax system and administer it in accordance with the laws currently in place. With these priorities in mind, we continue to analyze options and talk to other states that base their state income tax on federal taxable income. We are also seeking feedback from software vendors, the preparer community, and others. We will do our best. However, if Minnesota does not act, this will be complicated, and it will affect all 2.9 million of Minnesota's individual income tax filers. These are just a few examples of the impacts to individual income tax customers from the 2017 federal tax law if Minnesota does not act. Business tax customers are also impacted, and to share more about that impact is my colleague, Assistant Commissioner Jenny Starr.
And thank you very much, Assistant Commissioner Rowley. And here I thought we're going to be able to do this on a postcard. maybe not so much. Before we go to Assistant Commissioner Starr, I'd like to introduce Deputy Commissioner, as Commissioner Bowerly did, Lee Ho. If you just kind of raise your hand for members, you can see back there the new Deputy Commissioner. So he will be not testifying today, but welcome to any time that he needs to.
So with that, Assistant Commissioner Starr, please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Members, for the record, my name is Jenny Starr. I am an Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Revenue, and I oversee several areas at the department, including our business tax divisions.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Almost 50,000 corporations and other businesses make up over 30,000 unitary groups that are doing business in Minnesota and annually file a Minnesota corporate income tax return. Just under 225,000 flow-through businesses, like partnerships and trusts, file entity-level returns each year in Minnesota. These businesses pass their income, credits, and Minnesota modifications to over 700,000 partners, shareholders, and beneficiaries who include those items on their Minnesota income tax returns. As the commissioner commented earlier, the variety of businesses doing business in Minnesota is vast. When it comes to service over the past few years, the department has particularly emphasized the value of doing our work together. We heard loud and clear that our business partners need more from us in the areas of customer service and engagement. In particular, we heard the tax administration in Minnesota could improve with a renewed focus on technical advice and complex areas of law. After hearing this feedback, we promised to publish more revenue notices in 2017 than we published in 2016, and we also promised more transparency. And what I want you to know is that in 2017, we delivered. We are providing more, timelier, and transparent guidance that is easy to access and broadly applicable to as many customers as possible. We're working more closely on revenue notices with the Minnesota State Bar Association and the Minnesota Society of Certified Public Accountants, among others. And we are sharing drafts of our revenue notices in advance of publication. In 2017, we published 13 revenue notices, which is 5 more than we published in 2016 and 10 more than we published in 2015. And we're putting more resources towards rulemaking. In 2017, we began to improve and clarify 3 existing rules, one in the area of property tax, the other in corporate franchise tax, and another in a sales and use tax area. We are also focused on outreach, having more conversations and sharing more of our training on advanced technical areas at forums like the Annual Tax Institute with the Bar Association and the Annual Tax Conference with the Minnesota Society of CPAs. And finally, we heard that our corporate audits in particular were taking too long. And to address this issue, we focused on reducing the number of aging audits in our corporate division. Just as an example, in January of 2017, we had 114 open audits in the corporate division that were over 1 year old. And by the end of the year, we had reduced that number to 32. I raise these examples of improved service and engagement because the differences between the 2017 federal tax law and current Minnesota law will significantly increase the scope and need for robust technical advice from the department, as well as potential areas of noncompliance on complicated business income tax returns. As you heard from Mr. Cummings, the 2017 federal tax law includes wide-ranging tax changes that impact all business types that file in Minnesota. And these changes to the Internal Revenue Code affect the calculation of federal taxable income, which, like it is for individuals, is the starting point for determining Minnesota taxable income for businesses. As a result, under the 2017 federal tax law, paired with current Minnesota law, most business filers will need to make many adjustments to federal taxable income at each level of their Minnesota return. There are 2 examples that illustrate the complexities businesses will face in complying with current Minnesota law under the 2017 federal tax laws, and why significant changes in forms, instructions, and schedules will be necessary. And those include bonus depreciation and like-kind exchange. So I'm just going to walk you through those two examples quickly. As you follow along on the PowerPoint slides, you'll notice some steps have boxes around them. Those boxes indicate new steps for Minnesota filers. So federal law and Minnesota law provide an election to apply bonus depreciation on eligible newly acquired original use property. In 2017, the 2017 federal tax law now allows this election for more types of property, new and used property, and for 100% of the property's value if the property was acquired and placed in service after September 27, 2017. Current Minnesota law only allows up to 50% of value of the non-used property to be eligible for bonus depreciation. So on a Minnesota return, this means our business customers will need to, first, separate the value of used and new property that qualified for bonus depreciation on their federal return. Then add 100% of property value that was attributable to the used property, add that back to federal taxable income. Then they'll have to add back 50% of the property value attributable to new property. Then they'll need to make the existing Minnesota modification by adding 80% of the remaining 50% of the new property that was eligible for bonus under the 2016 federal code. Then in each of the following 5 years, they'll need to subtract 1/5 of that 80% addition. Over as many as 20 years, businesses will need to keep track of separate basis and depreciation schedules for each and every asset. And over those 20 years, if assets are sold, there will be different items of adjustment on the Minnesota return because basis and depreciation for federal and state purposes will no longer be the same. Moving on to like-kind exchange. Federal law and Minnesota law both provide for an election to defer the gain or loss from the sale of business property if the proceeds from the sale are invested in property that is of the kind that was sold. Under the 2017 federal tax law, this treatment is only available for certain types of real property. Current Minnesota law, however, allows for this deferral for real property and tangible personal property used in a trade or business. So this means on a Minnesota return, our business customers will need to determine if property is eligible for like-kind exchange treatment in Minnesota under pre-2017 federal tax laws, rules, and regulations. They'll need to subtract gains from the sale of that tangible personal property that was included in FTI. For the first time ever, they'll claim like-kind exchange treatment on their Minnesota return. And then again, they'll separately track basis until the newly acquired property is sold. These examples are illustrative of the complexities that will impact businesses of all sizes and types. And there are many, many more, some of which, like the accounting method changes, are the basic building blocks for any business in determining the timing of income and deductions. Nonconformity in these areas will significantly increase record-keeping burdens for our business customers. To administer through a taxable year under the 2017 federal tax law paired with current Minnesota law, our business customers would likely see significant changes in forms and instructions. At a minimum, there would be new nonconformity schedules for each entity-level return and each case schedule. There would be new instructions, worksheets, and schedules for more complex modifications like bonus depreciation, Section 179 adjustments, and like-kind exchange. Our preliminary estimate is that the nonconformity schedule would have a minimum of 40 new lines. And this is a minimum number, as we would attempt as best as possible to group like items together. While the approach I'm describing focuses on providing guidance, information, and transparency, We know it will also result in additional burdens to our business customers who will be required to complete and issue those new nonconformity schedules. It will also be a significant change from the past when nonconformity modifications were much smaller in number, scope, and impact, and we were able to largely maintain the normal course of Minnesota forms and schedules without substantial change. Like Assistant Commissioner Rowley, our goal in any filing season includes minimizing impacts to customers where we can, supporting voluntary compliance and providing assistance, including information on complex questions, as well as protecting the integrity of the tax system overall. Nonconformity creates new complexities for Minnesota modifications and shifts some areas of law to the department to administer on its own to provide guidance and answer questions. This will increase the need for services on top of responding to the customers' needs of our business partners in the areas of more robust, transparent guidance, as well as timely completion of our business income tax audits. With that, I'll turn it over to Assistant Commissioner Pete Scora.
Thank you very much, Assistant Commissioner Starr. Thanks for clearing all that up for us. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is, Pete Scora. I'm an Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Revenue.
Will you please spell your last name?
S-K-W-I-R-A.
Thank you very much, sir.
I oversee several areas of the department, including the Financial Management Division. State Government Finance Committee Chair Sarah Anderson has requested information about the financial and personnel impacts of the 2000 federal law, the tax law, on the department's operations, absent any response from Minnesota to the changes. We will provide a formal response to your letter, Chair Anderson, when it is ready. In the meantime, we want to provide you with an update on our process to analyze the impacts of the 2017 law on the department. As my colleagues have shared, the impacts are many, broad, and sweeping. We are analyzing a plan to implement our tax management system under current state law and the new federal law that minimizes impacts to our customers, supports voluntary tax filing, provides filing processes that are as simple as possible, and that protects the integrity of the tax system. We have started to scope the impacts to customers, our operations, filing payment and review processes, and other systems in order to fully implement the 2017 federal tax law. As Assistant Commissioners Starr and Rowley have shared, our work will include creating forms and rewriting instructions. Our integrated tax system must be updated and maintained to respond to those changes. Extensive training will be necessary to prepare our employees to serve customers accurately and effectively. We will need to implement a broad communication plan with taxpayers, tax preparers, and software vendors to help them to comply with the law. And we expect our customers will have more questions on how the new tax laws work. Our goal is to provide excellent service to all of our customers and to ensure our current service levels are maintained. We are analyzing the additional work and increased customer demands that will come from this 2017 federal tax law. We are working to complete our analysis and will provide information to Chair Anderson and to this committee at your request, Mr. Chair, when it is complete and accurate. Now I turn back to Commissioner Bowerly to talk about next steps.
Thank you, Assistant Commissioner. Commissioner Bowerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Before I close, I also wanted to touch briefly on the set of extenders that was contained in the budget deal reached by Congress on February 9th. These extenders would be retroactive for 2017 taxes, and Minnesota would need to pass legislation to conform to these provisions if we want these provisions to apply to 2017 Minnesota taxes. This package is similar to what Congress has passed in previous years, and Minnesota has conformed to parts of that package in prior sessions. We are reviewing this legislation, and we're also waiting formal guidance from the IRS, and when it is released, we will be able to determine the appropriate next steps for Minnesota. We want Minnesotans to know that some of the changes in the federal legislation may affect the returns that they are filing during this 2017 filing season. And so if they have any of the following in the 2017 tax year, they may be affected. For example, if they paid tuition and fees for post-secondary education, if they have a debt that was discharged on their principal residence, if they operated a business on an Indian reservation and placed assets in service, if they placed certain mine safety equipment in service, or if they have had any losses related to the California wildfire disasters. This federal legislation also impacts certain businesses' filings for their 2017 return, including some depreciation schedules. And so, again, Mr. Chair, we will be apprising the public and this committee of our plans once we have further guidance from the IRS about what they are going to do with these law changes that took place in the middle of our filing season. Mr. Chairman, sometimes we get asked about timing. I would anticipate that we would ask you if the legislature decides it would like to conform to these provisions, that we would do that with any larger bill or at the end of session. We would not anticipate that we would ask people to stop filing. We may ask people, if they are affected by these, to consider whether they would like to wait, and then we may be able to adjust our systems to make that those adjustments easier for Minnesotans in the future. So I'm hoping we will have more information in the next week on the extender package.
And thank you for that. I know in the past we have not tried to upset the apple cart in the middle of filing, and the department's taking care of it after the new conformity law has been put in place. Do you know there's a lot of different options out there. We can do full conformity now. We can wait till after a session, go into a special session. We can there's a lot of different things we can do. Take a few days off of door knocking or something, whatever. Do you believe that waiting till 2019 to do the conformity for 2018 is an option?
Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude with the next steps that we would envision and recommend,
sure.
I think we'll answer your question in that course.
Thank you.
I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee for the opportunity to provide information about the impact on Minnesota's current tax code as a result of the changes made at the federal level. As you have heard through some of the examples we've shared with you, tax filing will be much more complex for Minnesotans if there is no Minnesota response to that federal bill. The next steps in our sort of thinking about what possibilities are for Minnesota options. The February forecast will be released on February 28th, which will give us all a better sense of what our state's financial state is. And the governor's supplemental budget proposal will be out middle of March. And that will include the governor's tax priorities, including a proposal on how Minnesota could respond to this federal bill. And as you are aware from seven previous sessions with this governor, the governor's tax priorities are a tax system that is fair for hardworking Minnesotans while creating a responsible budget for Minnesota's future. The governor has also talked about the need to repeal some of the tax breaks that were in the 2017 bill for big tobacco companies, business property taxes, and the estate tax expansion that have long-term impact on our state's financial security. We also need to make sure that Minnesota's response to the new federal law enacted by Congress continues our responsible commitment to a fair and balanced budget and treats all Minnesotans fairly, especially low and middle income working families. And as we consider our response to the federal law that is in the best interest of Minnesota, I would remind us all of the strength of Minnesota that comes from a number of pillars that we have built over the last 7 years together. Fiscal responsibility, which has in part increased our credit rating with the state or the federal regulators. Key investments in education to continue to develop a workforce that our businesses need. Investments in infrastructure, services to build our economy, and fairness in our tax system. Minnesota has many options for responding to the 2017 federal tax law. We look forward to discussing these options with you this session. Mr. Chairman, I hope our presentation today has shared with you and the committee members the challenges that Minnesotans will face if we do not find a way to respond to the federal tax bill this session. We would recommend that this response happen during this session, and we'll as you all, I hope, understood from the level of work that would be needed to make any changes to our system, that work would have to happen over the summer and in the fall, working with preparers and software vendors. And so if there were an opportunity to retroactively conform in early 2019, that would still present a very challenging tax filing system for individual income tax customers next year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Here's what I think we'll do, committee. We're going to need to be going to caucus here. I have questions from Chairman Lesh, Hertas, Chair Drazkowski, Knobloch, Chair Knobloch, Representative Grunhagen. So I don't want to get into a question-answer session with 4 minutes left. And so we're going to pick up at the next meeting, which happens to be Thursday, February 22nd, 10:15 to 12, right here. We're going to pick up with Chair Lesh first and then go right down the list I have, and, of course, anybody else can get on the list. So with that, members, this is going to take a lot of time, a lot of thought, a lot of bipartisan work to work with the department to make this whole thing go. But, members, I know that you have other bills. You have local option sales taxes. You have TIFs. You have all sorts of other things you want to look at. It's my intention, although we spend a lot of time on this, we're going to also be working on other bills as we go. I'd like to thank the department. I'm keeping this very good. You put a lot of work in this, a very good point of reference here that we can go from. So it'd be my intention to have some questions at the beginning of the next meeting. Then we'll go into House research. We have our work cut out for us, members. Chair Marquardt, any thoughts?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner. And I think from the testimony we heard today, I think it's very clear that it isn't a question of if. It's going to be a question of how we kind of do this, and I think that's probably what we heard very loud and clear, if we're going to do things properly for our taxpayers and our business filers and so forth. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and good to have another good new year here. So
thank you, Chair Marquardt. So with that, members, we didn't go over these necessarily. Keep these if you would. I'm certainly keeping this one here. And with that, members, good government all the time. We are adjourned.